This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Good evening, everyone. It's Sunday night, and that can only mean it's the final word on the, I'd say the weekend's action, but the week's action because we've had so many games. But we've got a win. We've actually won. We've made the Hatters mad, or the Mad Hatters, and we've got a 2-1 win following, obviously, from the defeat against Bournemouth and the controversial VAR decisions that left my dad and a lot of us really, really pulling the rug on VAR. I'm sure we'll get into that. But we have a star-studded lineup tonight. We're going to be splitting into two halves. We've got Boston Brian. We've got Lewis. I need to get you a nickname, mate. Lewis. If everyone can think of a nickname for Lewis, it has to be L, something Lewis. Need a nickname for you. We've got Super Sooty. We've got Marvellous Manny, we've got Cheerful Chris, and we've got the Golden Girl. She's back herself, Lucy. Before we get started, of course, I do want to say a massive, big thank you, of course, to all the guys at Creation Wolf for helping sponsor and power Extra Time. The link for them is in the description below, and they do deliver the industry's and latest, most advanced digital solutions, taking your brand and online presence and digital capabilities to the next level. If you're listening to a podcast, it's creationwolf.com, but the link is in the description. Interestingly enough, I met some wonderful people yesterday down at Samosa Saturday who are actually having some work done by Creation Wolf after seeing them on Extra Time, and they're doing a lot of work for them and working together, and it's going really, really well. And they were really lovely people, and they were incredibly generous in donating to Samosa Saturday. And because we have got Marvellous Manny joining us this evening, we will be able to catch up with Samosa Saturday. So without any further ado, let's get the man himself on the stage. How are you doing, mate?
How are you doing? You okay? Yeah,
I'm fine. I think Marvellous Manny works. I like that. That kind of works.
Manic, probably more manic.
Manic. But... well, that's another one that you could, because you're such a busy yeah. Mate, listen, can I just say it's an honour and a privilege to, you know, trying to help share and tell the word about the work that you do and the fundraising that you do and to help out at Samosa Saturday. It's always a joy to be able to, you know, give back and see all the smiles and the generosity. Oh, yeah. And the Wolves fans, mate, they never fail to deliver, do they? Every time.
Just no words, to be honest. We go into each event with a little bit of nerves because you've just prepared, you know, like 3,200 samosas. So it's like, ooh, I hope it doesn't rain. Will they turn up? Is there, you know, after Wednesday, are they a little bit downhearted? Will they? Oh, man, you know, we get to like 2:45 and it's the battle for the last samosa and they all go. And the donations that come in, just
mate,
just
that
blown away.
That it's I always imagine it's like a torrent of water. It starts off as a steady stream, and then it's like the dam burst, and it's like a flood. We're like salmon trying to get up that stream, and it's just that last sort of half an hour.
Unreal.
It's amazing, and it always sells out. How much have you raised now in the end?
Man, so it's funny when we totaling up is quite a hard thing. So all the people that volunteer for it, a lot of them go back home, to count the pennies, and they take a long time. So, yeah, £6,472, which I believe is like our second highest ever total, which is like to think about the end of the season. And plus, I'd only just done the marathon last week, and you know, the walk wasn't that far ago. So you think, oh, can we ask these people for donations again? Oh my God, you know, they're just unreal, and so many stories, so many great people, so many, you know, people with their own personal tragedies that they've been through in life, and it's, you can see how people are uplifted. You guys who volunteer and help, I can see the joy in everybody's face that turns up and wants to play a part. And we had a couple of new people who just contacted me the last couple of days and said, can I help? Can I help? I said, yeah, it's yours. Most of Saturday isn't mine. It's yours. It belongs to the fans. It's run by the fans and it's contributed to by the fans. And I'm just like, sort of sometimes just look at it and think, oh, I'm just privileged to be there and be a part of it also, which is just amazing. So, you know, thank you to all the fans. And Luton fans, you know, fair play to them. They came.
And Luton brought,
they spread it.
You know, fair play to them. They brought quite a few fans, and
they did. Yeah, they spread it on all their Facebook groups. You know, somebody got in touch with me, and there's a, you know, a fair, you know, these sometimes you want to play glamorous clubs to when you're doing fundraising because you think automatically maybe they'll be more appealing, and but it just shows you can, you know, play little old Luton who was struggling and still have that kind of reaction. So yeah, brilliant. And yeah,
incredibly busy 6 weeks, mate. Walking to Newcastle, running the marathon, and Samosa Saturday 21. Incredible amount raised. I know Samosa Saturday, the marathon, obviously, and the walk was for Dementia UK, but.
Yeah.
The Samosa Saturday,
yes.
All that money's been split, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. So it's like £3,270 each to Wolverhampton Wanderers Foundation to continue the great work they do, and also, Dementia UK. So brilliant to give back to the club a little bit in some of the work they do. So, yeah, I think that will probably be an ongoing theme. One of the Samosa Saturdays will always try and split and contribute towards the foundation. And I just want to say, like, you know, when I started fundraising with the club in mind and try and involve the fans, the first ever season we raised, I think it was £20,000 in that season. Well, this season, up to now, from August to now, we've just gone past, this is without gift aid, £67,000.
Wow.
Which is like that's like £2 for every person that sits at Molyneux. You know,
that's incredible. And mate, I hope you can have time to have a little bit of downtime now, because it, like you say, it's been a bit mad. And I was saying before, we'll hopefully get on the tennis court soon, because rather now you ain't got to worry about walking to Newcastle or running and everything. We'll probably be able to get on the tennis court.
We haven't really had any weather, have we? I don't think we missed out,
mate,
to be honest.
You're not wrong, because it's been raining nearly all the time. I hope we'll get a bit of dry stuff coming soon. Manny, absolutely great. We'll talk a little bit more as we go on. Yeah. Obviously, get stuck into the game. You got your London Marathon.
London, class of, which is another T-shirt, you know, and it's just proud.
You get that
London
afterwards, do you?
Yeah, so after COVID, you have to go like 4 days, any of the days, 4 days previous to collect your number. And they give you everything then, apart from the medal, because it's just like easier for them to do rather than do it all at the end. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, if you ever get the chance, just go and attend it. Just go for the day and just go and watch it, because what a sporting occasion it is, what a fundraising occasion.
Watched it on the TV and everything.
Yeah.
And there's lots of inspiring stories and people dressed up wearing, like, I don't know, a fridge or something crazy.
Yeah, there's a guy, I sort of passed him, and he was carrying an actual washing machine on his back. And I thought,
I bet he ended up all washed up at the end, though.
I actually said to him, I said, you could have left your washing for another day, mate. You know what I mean? And it's amazing how people will go that extra bit to try and raise funds for charity and do mad, stupid things. And these ain't runners. These ain't athletes. It's just human beings who just decide to give it a go. And it's not about times. It's not about, you know, it's just about taking part. And it's a brilliant event,
Absolutely. Thanks ever so much for bringing us up to date with that. Also joining us tonight, yes, by popular demand, it's the golden girl herself, Lucy, with that golden smile. Hi, mate.
Hello, sweetie pie. How are you doing?
You're not planning on running any marathons with a fridge on your back or a washing machine, are you, mate?
Definitely not. Definitely not. No way will these legs take that. No.
And what have you been up to recently?
Not much, to be honest. I've recently joined the gym, so I'm enjoying that.
You're training for it then.
I'm trying just to keep myself fit. Nothing else, believe me. Nothing else. No, it's good for mental health. I'm really enjoying it. Rather than sitting here, you know, looking for things to do around my home, it's nice to get out and do something. And the gym is doing wonders for my mental health. It really, really is. I suffer, and it's fantastic.
That's great. Well, Manny is, if you see his stories, he's often, you know, doing stuff down the gym and stuff like that. You should get gym shots.
Yeah, the body and the mind does work together. And, you know, just walking, fresh air, going to the gym, exercising. When you move, it just releases the right sort of chemicals just to take our mind away from a lot of the day-to-day stuff we go through. So, you know, moving is really important. You know, you talked about tennis earlier. A lot of it's a mental thing. It's not about...
Exactly why I love the tennis. It's good for my old ticker.
That's all it is, and it just takes you away from we all need a bit of an escape, and it's very hard to escape in England because it's all bloody raining all the time. But, you know, going to the gym or doing something or having some sort of activity, like football's the same, isn't it? When we go to football, it's that escape. So, you know, keep going, Lucy, you know, and it will improve and you'll get better and you'll recover and you'll learn how to cope better from it.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant. And the next person to be joining us on the first half of the show, becoming a little regular now, hasn't put his Boston on today. It's just Brian, but we know it's Boston, Brian. Nice plant that you got behind you there, mate.
Yeah, sorry, Dave. I had to move.
It is a legal plant, is it? It's not illegal.
I wasn't going to say that, you know, but it does look a bit dodgy, that plant.
I'm just going to smoke a bit of it now.
Honestly. I wondered why you're looking so chilled out, Brian. You're like, yeah, man. Go ahead. I don't care about VAR. It's okay.
Yeah.
Good seeing you yesterday.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good to see you a lot, Dave. Yeah, very good. And see Manny down at the Samosa Saturday. And everything like that. Yeah, it was great. I have to tell you this now, Dave. On Tuesday, I'm taking my wife to Gatwick because she's going to Italy. She's doing one of these, you know, like these walks that they do for, like the Camino. You'll know the Camino, Manny, wouldn't you? You know, it's the one in Spain, the famous one in Spain. There was a film about it and that. And she's doing another one in Italy on, she did that about, I thought it was about 3 years ago, but it was actually 6 years ago. Of course, COVID and all that. Yeah, you lose track of time, don't you? But she'd off on to do this Italian one on Tuesday. And I was saying to her, I was telling her all about Manny. Well, she knows about Manny anyway. I was telling her all about the walks. I said, why don't you do... I said, he does one every year. He'll probably be doing another one next year to another football club. I said, why don't you join that? Join that? And she says, no. She says, no. Why don't you? right. Okay.
Well, I just want to say this before you go on. We are planning something that every single person, old, young, whether you're in a wheelchair, whether you can walk, whether you can't, can join in. So just keep your eyes out for that.
Right, okay.
Even you won't be able to join me.
Keep your eye out for that then, Brian. Right, we're going to get stuck into the football. First of all, obviously we lost to Bournemouth. There was a VAR. I'm sure some of you will bring that up. And then we played Luton and we managed to beat the Hatters 2-1. Then Chelsea, captivating Chelsea, who does a wonderful job with the watch-alongs for us because we're at the game. She's done 6 games since Coventry or just before, and Wolves ain't won any of them. She couldn't do the watch along the weekend. And guess what? They went on.
She's banned. Sorry. If you find something else for her, she can.
I feel so gutted for her because she's got people through the bad times and. She said herself, she says, I bet they go and beat Luton, and then they do. But hopefully, they'll win the next one for her. But Chelsea, we do appreciate you doing it. I hope you had a lovely weekend, and she'll be back very, very, very soon. Manny, let's get stuck into the football, right?
Yeah.
You can talk about Bournemouth. You can talk about Luton. We will be talking about, by the way, tonight. I'll be asking all of our guests at some point what is a good transfer window. They'll be doing their normal man of the match performance rating highlight of the day. But we're also going to have a bit of fun because we've got a bit of a theme. And tonight I'm asking every one of our fan punters to nominate their top 3 holiday destinations. So we'll do one at the end of the first half, do one at the end of the second half. Manny, over to you. Yep. What would you like to say about Bournemouth and Luton?
Well, first of all, going back to last Wednesday, that first half was actually going into the game, I sort of said to my sons, this seems like a nothing match. 2 clubs that are middle of the table, got nothing to play for. They're not going to get relegated. They're not going to Europe. And it could be a bit of a, damp squib type of a game. And the way it started, actually, that's how we played, but they didn't. They turned up and we didn't, and the first half was pretty shocking. It was just players were just off the pace, just didn't look keyed up for it. It was just like one extra game that they didn't want for some reason, and it was pretty shocking. And to stay in at 1-0, for as long as we did, we did actually really well to stay there, thanks to, Sarr made a couple of good saves. And when it's 1-0, there's always a chance, isn't there? There's always a chance you could maybe. And actually, the second half, I thought we didn't play too badly. We did have a reaction. The players that played well, were sort of dropped on Wednesday, Traore, and who was the other one? But they were in the team. And when they came on, we were better, and then we did.
You want to carve that?
Yeah, Chiray, he played well against Arsenal, didn't he? And so did Traore. So they both came on and we had a better look to ourselves straight away, a bit more front foot. And we undeservedly thought we'd got the 1-1, even now when you think about the goal, it was quite right for us to celebrate that goal because there's nothing of that goal that you could see where any infringement or offside or anything that might have took place where you sort of hang back. But even that goal obviously got in the end chalked off, and then you start to question yourself. Then you think even the clear goals, the ones that are definitely being scored properly, we can't now celebrate properly because they will find something. And that just stuck in our head. And then obviously Kilman scores and it was ruled offside for a hair's breadth, of an offside. And for me, I'm at the stage now, and I'm glad to see like a few more pundits and a few more presenters now, getting on the stage of saying we don't want VAR, it's ruining our game. Collie Moore's been very, big on it. Adrian Durham, who's Talk Sport, said some big things about it against, the whole usage. And I'm the same. Even if it gets to 100% correct decisions, 100%, is that what we want? Like waiting around and wondering, and shall we celebrate? Shall we not? life's about being in the moment and a bit of euphoria and celebrating with your mates, and then maybe going home afterwards and then having a bit of banter saying, oh, we got away with that, or was that offside, was it not? Was it our game in such a bad state of affairs that we needed this formula called VAR to come in? And people say, oh, it's not VAR, it's the officials. No. Jeez. So wrong. If that VAR system wasn't there, that officials would have nothing to do, because the system's there. If you've got a toy, if I give you a toy now, Dave, and it's all wired up at home, you just can't wait to play with it. And that's what they're like. They're playing with it. Rather than a VAR official should have his feet up and just be not bothered until a complete howler happens. And then he should be thinking, oh, what's
happening? This is where it comes to the clear and obvious.
And they are actually, they commentate through the whole game. So if you, the audio, what we hear from VAR officials goes on for 90 minutes. So they actually get, oh, he's crossed the ball. Yeah, that's okay. They commentate every little last bit of the game and then jump in whenever they want to, rather than hang back and think, you know, there's no howlers happen, so we'll just keep sure. That wasn't a howler. It was if it's six and one, half a dozen of the other, you know, the Cunha battling with a defender. If the referee doesn't see anything wrong, we're not going to get involved.
There's an argument to say there's a foul on Cunha because the guy pushes him and then he sort of does that.
Even the offside is not black and white. Is not. Because a human being...
Where they freeze the frame.
Human being has to say... this is the moment that the ball's been played, and another human being has to draw the line where he thinks it goes. So it's got a margin of error. Anything that's got a margin of error in cricket and in rugby, anything marginal then always goes with the attacker or the on-field decision. Because our technology isn't that accurate to call this, because it's a heel or an armpit or a sleeve. So just stick with the on-field decision. And if the on-field is given an offside, then we'll have to live with it. But if the on-field is given a goal, then you live with that as well. And so I want it completely and utterly scrapped. And I think the Luton game, going on to the Luton game, saw that, didn't we? You know, the reaction from the fans, you know, when we scored, and then hesitating and waiting for Luton to kick off before we start celebrating, you know, in a bit of a, you know, sarcastic way. It just made that point that that is what football has become. But anyway, you know, we didn't get anything from Bournemouth. We went into Luton, and I thought we played really well. A fair reflection for me would have been a nice, comfortable 3-0 win, but typical Wolves, you know, they don't like to keep clean sheets and they leave you hanging on for a bit. But we played comfortably. Smaido and Aitnuri missed, you know, sitters second half to just bury Luton. I thought we were better than them, and we just
looked there. I was surprised, actually, that they didn't have a lot, and we controlled the game a lot easier than I expected.
Hwang and Cunha, they were fighting for their lives, but we controlled it. And having them two on the pitch again, you know, they're both into double figures. I mean, you think about Hwang, if he didn't go to the Asian Cup and he was fit for the whole season, I reckon he'd be battling for the Golden Boot. He's not that far away.
He was at one point, wasn't he?
He was at one point until 17, then. 18 goals, I'm sure he would have been. And, you know, the top scorer's only got 20. So.
And he had another opportunity earlier in the game, which he probably should have done better with.
He scored on Wednesday.
Lucy, managed points. If you want to break them down, if you want to come with your views on VAR and any points you want to make out the games as well.
I think Manny's made all the points that I would have made, to be honest. I think VAR is making the game boring. It's not a game anymore. It's not football anymore. I am sick to death of celebrating a goal. I mean, yesterday, usually we score. I'm crying. I'm a crier. I'm happy. I cry. I am jumping round. I'm jumping all over everybody. I am so excited. Yesterday, I clapped. I stood there and I clapped. I smiled, but I didn't cheer until I knew.
The bigger cheer, because people like are frightened to celebrate goals because...
Until I knew that goal was actually a goal, I couldn't celebrate. And I hate that. I hated it yesterday for that fact. And as soon as he blew that whistle yesterday, I thought, phew, safe, no VAR today. That's not football. That's not what we go to that ground to watch. We go to celebrate our team, and we can't do that. And it's vile. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. I want to back our lads as much as possible. You know what I'm like. I'm loudmouth. And I can't do that, apart from swearing at the referees and VAR. I can't do that. And it's horrible, horrible feeling. But I thought we played so much better yesterday. A lot of people were still down about us and, you know, could have done this, could have done that. Do you know what? We played bloody well against a team that's been struggling. I thought we played bloody well yesterday compared to Wednesday. I mean, Wednesday was just, I want to forget Wednesday, to be honest, because that wasn't the Wolves that we know.
It very wasn't. Disjointed.
There was no get up and go. There was
changes,
no
like Manny said, did make a difference. I thought from about 60, 65, just before we scored, we started to look better.
Yeah.
But, you know, as well as we'd like against Luton, we should have been 3 or 4 up. We should have been 3 or 4 down against Bournemouth.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
And we nearly, we should have robbed, we should have got a pointy. But obviously, it was another decision. Oh, yeah, it's Wolves again. Let's just check the badge. And it goes on. Brian, you want to come into this debate? And we will be, of course, covering this in the second half of the show. I'm sure there'll be some strong opinions on it as well. You know, what's your point? What's your thoughts on the VAR?
This is a great forum, this is for this, isn't it? Because I don't know, you've seen my comments on Discord before. You know, I've talked about VAR. As you know, I used to work at Southampton Football Club, and I was involved in the early set of the testing and all that when they were setting it up at the
it's
stadium.
It's your fault.
Now we know.
but I've always defended the technology. It can get better. It can get better. It's not the finished article. But I've changed my mind now. I've changed my mind because... as Manny said, you know, we're saying, you know, it's down to the individuals and all that. The whole thing is packaged together, isn't it? You know, and it's Ian Wright said last night on Match of the Day, tongue in cheek, he says, let's get rid of it. But Gary Lineker said, well, good luck with that, because it's not just us, is it? It's not this country. It's Europe, Champions League and all that, and FIFA, and you know, the Euros in the summer will be having it. But the thing is that I think we need to keep this momentum going now, this anti-VAR momentum going. It's our game. It's not, I said before, owners come and go, coaches come and go, players come and go. The thing that stays the same in any club is us, the supporters. So we should be the most important people in football. And if we get together with other clubs and we all, you know, start a movement, you know, use the media like TalkSport.
Well,
like,
it was the fans that stopped the Super League.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Have a lot. Now, I will come in on VAR. I don't think it's going to go. I can't see it happening. And, you know, those of you that know me, and you might have seen my dad. My dad's been coming for a long time. And when I asked my dad after the match against Bournemouth, and when he's saying it's ruining football. I don't feel like coming anymore. And everyone thinks so. You know, seeing my dad like that, it's tough. You know, because it's spoiling it for him and for everyone, and it's hard. But in what works in VAR? Would we agree that the goal line technology works? Because
I wouldn't call that VAR. Goal line technology is a very simple process that doesn't actually require the usage of any people. So
you're okay with that? We're okay.
Yeah,
that's
goal line technology is a completely separate thing. It is black and white as much as it can be, and it does take, you know, the Lampard goal and all the things that have happened in the past that were. That it takes all that out. So brilliant, absolute brilliant invention. Has no impact on the play either, because it's instant, the decisions.
What's your thoughts on because like we know that next year, which I don't know why the Premier League didn't go for this in the first place, but they're behind the curve with a lot of the other leagues. They're bringing in semi-automatic offside. We saw this work in the World Cup quite successfully. It's basically a lot quicker. And they had the players on the things rather than drawing the lines across. That seemed to work quite well in the World Cup. What's your thoughts on that? If it speeds up the process and it cuts out the Euromen era?
The thing is, Dave, is you know we compare the technology to cricket and rugby, and tennis as well. I mean, it's in tennis, been there for a long time, isn't it? Tennis, but tennis is very defined, isn't it? You've got the court and
lines.
I don't think it ever gets it wrong, does it? Really, in tennis.
Well, you play a point, you stop, you play the next point.
Exactly.
There's natural flowing, like.
But in all those sports we just mentioned, there's natural breaks, isn't there? You know, it's like rugby. You know, I mean, it's
cricket
a very,
as well.
Cricket as well. Cricket is especially in Test match cricket, it takes 5 days, doesn't it? And you know, so losing a couple of minutes here and there is neither here nor there, is it? Football is a very, very active game, isn't it? It's very, action all the time, you know. And that's what we love about it, you know. I mean, yeah. I had some Americans come over, some friends from America come over once. I took them to a Wolves game, and we were quite low. It was actually when Fulham were playing at QPR's ground. And you know how low it is there, you know, very, very intimate ground. And it was nil-nil. but they said after the game, they said, I couldn't believe how fast it was, you know. They said you can't appreciate that when you're watching it on the TV, and that's just it's all action, and that's the problem, isn't it? If you start stopping the game, like we do, we stop the game, and we're all looking around, and we go, oh gosh, you know, like Lucy just said, you know, can't celebrate properly. So we can't really compare it to those games where you do have natural breaks. Or it's part of the game, you know. The clock gets stopped in rugby, doesn't it? So they play probably about 40 minutes. It's supposed to be. They probably play about 50 minutes a half, don't they? You know, probably longer actually sometimes. But there was talk about having. I mean, I think it wasn't it. One of Clattenburg said. Have 30-minute hours and stop the clock every time.
Yeah, that was talked. Something that was raised, and they do that. But I can't
that offside thing you're talking about, Dave. Even semi-automatic offside. So in cricket, they use Hawkeye. They follow the ball. Yeah. So when the ball hits the stumps, if half the ball is missing the stumps, more than half, they'll just go with the umpire's call, because even though it's saying the ball will hit the wickets, they're saying technology still isn't that great, so we've got to go with the umpire.
Right. I actually thought
No. So half the ball misses the stumps, half the ball, more than half, it's umpire's call. So stick with whatever the umpire said, because they're admitting that our technology is good, but it can't be 100%. So that margin of error they always have. So even though it looks like the ball would have gone and clipped the stumps, they will still go with umpire's call. So that's why they ask the umpire, what do you think? Because we don't want to judge to fine margins. And that's what I don't get with offside. Offside is always, if you're level, you're offside. If you always gave the benefit of the doubt to the striker, it causes more goals, more excitement. And players can play on the shoulder of, you know, Steve Ball would never be able to play now, because he used to play on shoulders all the time.
Yeah,
he'd never.
Yeah.
It's all about stealing half a yard. And if you're level, you're onside. And that's what I don't get with offside. And I've said from the start, it's not black and white. If it's marginal, there's no equipment available. It's only semi-automatic. There's no equipment available. You can't put a sensor in every attacker's foot that plays the ball through to know exactly
they're putting a sensor in the ball.
Yeah, it's still got a margin of error. Every technology has a margin of error. So you've always got to have anything that's marginal. You've always got to say to ref, stick with your call, because you've got to have that margin of error in everything you do. And as soon as you say, no, we're going to make it definite, then it becomes like a science, doesn't it? It becomes like a formula. Football's not like that. It doesn't work like that. It can't work like that. So I'll say, you know, even if that come in. I just don't want it. I'd rather go back to the man on the field making the decision, because I don't
making
think
a howl out. And we, can
we never spoke about it this much back pre-VAR. We never spoke about
To be fair, I think we did. I think we did. We watched it back on the TV and we saw things like that. And
yeah, but what did it take then, away from the game? Nothing, because we still celebrated.
No, it didn't. That's what I'm saying.
Still had the enjoyment.
There's always going to be debate around in football. Yeah. And we thought, when a lot of people thought when VAR would come in, oh, that'll cut all that debate out. No. But there's more debate now than there
was
before.
It's worse. It's a worse type of debate because it's not a natural debate.
Yeah. Now, the argument is they're working to improve it. You know, the campaigns.
The Swedes have thrown it
Someone's put up here just now, if I can find it. I can't find it. They've said, like, when there's a VAR decision, we should walk out. I don't think that's going to work, but I don't see why we shouldn't turn our backs. Like, if there's a VAR call, the whole stadium turns our back, turn your back on VAR. That's a visual statement, because you're not going to get people walking out. Because everyone could just turn their back whilst there's a VAR check. And that would be a real visual statement. I don't know. That's just a
crazy. I think it would happen. I think eventually, because it's not just us, you know, other clubs have like vented their frustrations. It's not just us. Even now, bigger clubs like, you know, the Chelsea's and Spurs and other clubs have had things go against them. So I think, you know, that's what it needs. What Brian says, a bit of unity. And we've seen a few high up figures changing their minds. Brian's just said he worked on it and now he's changed his mind. So we need people to like call it out for what it is.
Everyone's changing their mind because everyone's sick and tired. And if you're watching on the TV, you kind of know what's going on. The experience for the match going fan is awful. It's the match going fans are the lifeblood of the game. That creates the atmosphere. You kill the joy and the pain. And all the reactions, and like you say, the moments. If you start killing the moments because you can't live in the moment with a goal, and then you're like, there's a collective. As soon as that VAR comes, there's a collective groan around Molineux, and here we go again. And that's what people are getting fed up with. It's like they can't.
Even when Huang scored that goal the other day,
all about emotions, isn't it?
That the referee ran towards the goal net. And I thought, oh my God, what's he going to do now? Is he disallowing it? Has he ran to the goal net to check the net?
Checking for a hole in the net? Well, let's find some sort of holes in that net.
The goalkeeper went over to him to fetch him over to check the net. I mean, there's lots of holes in a net. That's the whole point of it.
There ain't a big one as far as we know. They check it before the game anyway. Lucy, you wanted to come in with something before we move on.
Oh, I can't remember now.
Got out your head.
I can't remember. It's gone completely out my head now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Now it's
okay,
gone.
So let's finish now off the Luton bit, because I want to talk about the summer window and then get on thing, because obviously I want to make sure that we try and keep it to 60 minutes either side. So what I want to know from you, Lucy, you leave all windows man of the match, your Fox Shipley performance rating, and your moment or highlight of the day, something that made you smile.
Boubacar Traoré, easy one for me. Absolutely fantastic yesterday, man of the match. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. I thought they all played well yesterday, to be honest. I didn't think there was a weak player, to be honest. But no, definitely Boubi. He was superb. He was all over the place. The way he jumps up to get the ball and win that ball back, he's just class. He's absolutely got
a lot of energy. He's very tenacious.
Yeah,
and he's got a fair bit of quality. And he and tell you what, he will shoot. He'll have a shot, and he can't half hit it.
Yeah, and I like that. I mean, bloody hell, I wouldn't want to be in the way of the ball when he eats it. Because good God, he can you smack what, that ball.
He was saying that, Lucy, because we were like saying from our end. Obviously, it was hit that one shot that he hit down the south bank, and it was like a bullet.
Yeah, so
you won't want to be behind it. So your performance rating?
Performance rating, I'll give it a 7.5.
Yeah.
Very good, but there's a lot of improvements to be made. A moment of the day.
Anything that made you smile.
Do you know what? Seeing you guys and having my hugs.
Seeing
you guys was just fantastic. And, you know, it was a pleasure seeing everybody. And just really, really good day yesterday. Felt wholesome yesterday. And I'm really, really happy.
A brilliant answer. Brian?
My man of the match, I have to agree with Lucy. I mean, he was man of the match against Arsenal. You could have even argued against Bournemouth, even though he only played about 20, 25 minutes. He might have even been man of the match then. And he was certainly man of the match yesterday. He's everywhere. He's, as you know, Dave, you know, this thing about scanning, you know, I call it, but Tommy Doyle's very good at scanning.
And you said Tommy Doyle's got it as well.
I tell you now, Boubacar does the same thing. He does exactly the same thing. His reading of the game is superb. What I watched yesterday was the way he'll drop into if somebody's out of position, he's looking all the time and he's weighing the situation up and he's dropping into that person's position. Like if there were one point in the first half, Semedo and Doc were going down the right, which was another thing as well, which was good in that game. They were covering for each other. You know, one would drop. That's why Semedo, had a chance, because Doc was covering for him. But that wasn't always the case. Boubacar looking at all the time. He's got the attributes, to become a mega star for us. He really has. He's a tall lad. He's good in the air.
He's got tackles. Lots of energy. He's tenacious.
He's got quick feet as well. I mean, he'll do those little turns that Ait Nouri does. And he's a good passer of the ball. And as you said, he's got a great shot on him. He could be a megastar. He's not even young, He's not very old. I really rate the guy. Anyway, so Boubacar, definitely for me. Now, although having said that, I can't think you can say that anyone had a bad game yesterday. I can't think of anybody. I thought, did anyone have a bad game? Not really, little bit of a switch off for their goal. But I thought it was going out,
Everyone did, but they should be.
Performance rate, I'll give it a 7. I mean, I gave the Arsenal game an 8 because of the opposition. And I'll give it a 7 yesterday, once again, because of the opposition. They're a bunch of triers, Luke, now, but I was a bit disappointed with them yesterday. So we should really have taken them apart. You know, we had a few chances, could have been 4 or 5, So, I'll only give it a 7 because of that. But my moment of the day, I had lots actually. But we've already talked about the sarcastic waiting for the VAR and then sarcastically cheering, but not that. That wasn't it. It was when I can't really say, even though it's after 9 o'clock. I can't. I'll use a different word. When we started singing "Duck VAR." the Luton fans joined in. They were below me, so they all joined in. I thought that was really great, it sums it up, doesn't it? Fans getting together.
Well, that's the sort of thing that unites. Manny, over to you. I want you to start this part thing. Obviously, your man of the match performance rating, what made you smile, but also I want you to then move into the next question, which is what would be a good summer transfer window for you?
Okay, yeah, so I'll go with the full house on Mr. B. Traore. You know, one thing Gary O'Neill has done, he's improved every single player.
Yeah.
I can't think of one player from last year that he hasn't improved. And he's improved Traore in the same season.
Yeah.
You can tell because when Traore first came in and played, he was giving away a lot of fouls. He was really eager. He doesn't let anyone rest. And you can see how he's like learnt and become a better player. And
another thing on that, Manny, when he came on, it used to take him 10 or 15 minutes to get up to speed as well. And he seems to be out and to get
you know what? Game. He is also, Brian's, I know he's young, but he's also, he's really fit. I reckon he could run a marathon. He's really fit. So he doesn't run it. He doesn't walk. If you look at a lot of players, even Lamina, there'll be times where they'll walk a bit of the game. Yeah. It's their recovery bit where they'll walk a bit and then they'll go again. Traore, it just seems like he seems like on 90 minutes, like he was on minute one. He's obviously very fit, and that fitness is really key because, like, as Ryan says, to recognise positions and to recognise that you need to be there is one thing. To actually get there is another, and he covers ground very easily. So, you know, what a bonus, because we're all, like, waxing lyrical about Gomez and Lamina and then about and Doyle. And now having Traore, not many clubs have got four players in midfield that you feel happy about. That is, like, for all the wrongdoings and, you know, weaknesses in the squad, that is a strength from last year where we had Neves and Moutinho and then maybe Dendonka, but did he really fit in? Which position do we play him in? So we were stuck, and now we've got, you know, ever since Lamina and Gomez came in on the new year, and then he's added to that, Doyle added to that, you know, it's been brilliant, I think, you know. And I'd argue, if someone says not improve Kilman, I'd say even though Kilman's got faults and, you know, feels probably pressures from his captaining a Premier League side, which maybe he probably didn't expect to this time last year. So, I still think there's some things that even he's added to his game. He's still got a lot to improve. He's, you know, and still got to get better in certain departments. I think he misses, like, Dawson by his side, which is, like, you know, a figure you need sometimes as a defender. But so Traore is my man of the match. Performance
rating,
Up until, like, we probably conceded, I would have given an 8 because I think it was going to be a comfortable 3-0 victory, and coming off an absolute shocker against Bournemouth to produce.
What would you rate for Bournemouth, Manny?
Oh, God.
You know what? It was about at half time, it was about 3, I think. And it raised it up to about 4 or a 5, maybe, because I thought we did play better, and it would have been a real steal. So, I'll probably give it about 7.5. It was a good performance. Even they scored, we still managed the game very easily.
Was one thing that I was really pleased about, because we didn't manage the game against United when we got back in. No. We didn't manage the game against Coventry, we did manage the game against Luton, which was lessons that have to be learned.
Yeah.
So, and what made you smile, moment of the day?
I mean, I can't really go past Samosa Saturday. You know, we got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Is our match day, and we started frying, and you know, and you think about the whole day, and you're looking at the clouds, and you think, oh, will it stop? And you know, meeting everybody, and so many people, you know, taking pictures and shaking hands and giving you hugs, and just putting wads and wads and wads of cash in your hands. It's like, it's quite, it makes you smile, but it's an emotional smile, because you know, these people don't really know you that well, but it just shows you when you do something good, it can have a huge impact on people's lives. And that's the thing, just keep doing good. It's not about the amounts or what you do, but just keep doing good. So that just watching the fans, and for everything that is negative in life, when you see something like that, Lucy use the word wholesome. That's exactly what it is. It becomes like everybody together doing the same thing. That is wholesome. And there's you see nothing then. Don't see anything. You don't see men or women. You don't see background or faith. You don't see anything. You just see everybody doing the same thing. And it all becomes the one energy. And that's what, you know, my life's inspired around that, in recognising, you know, humans before the wrapping paper. I talk about it all the time, and those events are the types that bring humanity to the fore. So Yeah, that makes me smile, and nothing can top that, to be honest, on Saturday.
Fantastic, mate.
Yeah.
And about what the summer window? What's a good
summer window? You know what? I'm a Fosun, obviously, have changed their tune. We know it's quite clear they're working it a different way. Some of us are not happy about it, and we want them to work in a different way. Obviously, they're restricted a little bit, but then we see, you know, not spending on the ground and all the other things that they should be doing that they're not doing. So there is a concern there. We have to be really careful. You look at Aston Villa, they're going to probably finish fourth. What a season. They haven't actually got a huge squad. You know, Ollie Watkins got injured, or, you know, it's one of their real
teams. I don't know if you saw that there was something out that the unluckiest team is Wolves.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The luckiest team is Aston Villa.
The
weekend.
Yeah. So you remember Nuno when we finished seventh, and it was because we kept everyone fit. Most teams, bar one or two in this league, have to keep all their players fit. Liverpool, when they lose four or five players, they look, you know, we can get at them. You know, United look the same, Chelsea look the same, Spurs look the same. When they lose four or five players, they all look like they can be got at. There's only really Man City and possibly Arsenal who've really strengthened, that have got something behind. You know, so for us to lose every forward, you know, we've never had two scorers with 10 goals or above in the Premier League era. And to lose both of them, and your top assist maker, and your kingpin defender, I'm not saying, like, you know, we should have had players coming in to replace them. I'm just thinking, if another team lost all of those players in one go, they would take Salah, Jota, Nunes and Van Dijk. There you go. There's four players. Take them out of Liverpool. Will Liverpool be the same? Of course they won't. You know, so I think we have to be a little bit careful, but we'd definitely, the forward areas and a defender maybe. You know, Dawson is not going to get any younger. He's just got injured. You're always concerned when you're getting on a bit and start picking up injuries. So in defence, we have only kept, what, two or three clean sheets all season. That's, even though we've been banging on about goals, now we're scoring goals.
We've talked about scoring goals loads, and now we've got to start keeping a bit more out.
You've got to, you know, when you're having a bad day, you've got to know how to just shut up shop and take the point or keep the clean sheet. So we don't do that. We do not keep clean sheets, you know, and even on Saturday, we should have easily kept a clean sheet, but we refused to keep clean sheets, it seems.
Still managed to find a way to concede one.
Yeah, so I would have to say centre-half and a forward, but are the two main areas, and the rest of it will be down to, obviously, any changes, any players we lose, and obviously needing to replace them. And we've got some assets now, haven't we? And that's the position we're in, whether it's Neto, whether it's, you know, Ait Nouri or whoever it is. Let's, you know, if Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United, Barcelona, if something really stupidly big comes in, then let's be realistic. We're not going to hold on to those players, and then you have to get the most you can. Even when the other day there was that link with Liverpool, you know, I thought if that, after O'Neill, you know, which proved false, but even if it was real, if Liverpool did ring him up, he'd be absolutely mentally stupid to say, oh, I'm not going to have an interview. You're still going to go and see what they want. It's Liverpool, man. It's never going to happen again. So, you know, I don't think people should get that attached sometimes. You know, we lost all those players in the summer, but yet we're more excited about the team we've got now. So
we've got a connection with the team as well now that we have.
Yeah. So we you know, it's all about getting the right people, the right mind frame, and good humans. It seems like we have. The one thing Wolves should be utterly proud of over the last two or three, four, 5 years, you know, probably longer, is that none of our players are in the headlines for the wrong reasons. They're not rolling out of clubs. They're not being caught speeding. They've not been, you know, and that is a problem with, I mean, you give young people lots of money, but it seems like our recruitment strategy is to look for good, wholesome human beings as well as good players. So
it's very important.
If we get if we impinge the likes of Doyles, the Laminas, the Dawsons, the, you know, those Gomez's in the transfer window, we'll be over the moon. All of those players are next to nothing, and they're absolute stars for us. So,
Mike, I'll just make one on that. On that, we will come to Lucy and Brian in a second.
Yeah,
Otti Gomez, £900,000. Yeah. £900,000. Mm. He's probably been our best defender the last two or three games, and scoring a diving header at the back post.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in open play, he actually nearly got on the end of another cross, didn't he? I don't know where he came from to get into the box. So he's got that added feature to his game. Yeah. So, you know, just proves that you don't. We've tried the 45 million on, you know, Nunes, the 30 odd million on Guedes, the 35 million on Silva. We've tried the big, big bucks. We have spent big bucks on absolute dross. So
the thing is, Manny, as well, when you, those players that you mentioned, you buy the money, spend the money, and if they fail, you look daft. Samedo was expensive, you know, 30 odd tuna was, but they've worked. You're spending sort of like, you know, up to £15 million, the risk is a lot lower. Also, you know, when they if they fail, it's like you don't have the fans going, why did you spend that much money on them? And I think a philosophy, I mean, but I do think, you know, on the Mendes merry-go-round we've got done a couple of times. You take one on the cheap and then you take one on thing, and they have moved a little bit away from that. And it's good not to say they won't use Mendes in his context, but we're not putting all our eggs in one basket. Lucy, what's a good summer for you? Good summer window for you?
Good summer for me is to keep Gary O'Neill for a start. Sign Tommy. That's got to be done. Get rid of the trash. I'm sorry, but Fabio.
Yeah, okay.
Sell.
How much are you going to get it for him?
How much are you getting for Fabio Silva?
Do you know what? I wouldn't care less, just as long as he's off our books. I would not care less. You know, Gary O'Neill has took on a team that wasn't his team. They're not his players. People forget this. They're not his players. They were somebody else's players. He's made them into a team that want to play for Wolverhampton Wanderers. And I praise him so much for that, because he's done a fantastic job and he's made the fans believe again. They've made us fall in love with the Wolves, but not only the Wolves, but the players. And our players are so grounded, you know, that... Oh, getting a bit emotional thinking about it. They do. They make me feel proud to be a Wolves fan. Regardless of results, regardless of, you know, the way things turn out for us.
Yeah.
Those players make me feel proud for playing the way they do.
What you've said there is absolutely bang on, spot on, what you said. I mean, I'm like dealing that and I'm just like, yeah. Gary O'Neill hasn't even had a proper window yet. He hasn't even had a proper pre-season. And you know, a lot of people.
I'll go back to Ryan Aitner just before Brian comes in. You know, last year, hood down, never looked at the fans, never ever waved at fans when he came off the coach, headphones on. Now he's doing videos with the kids and, you know, waving and dancing and doing little tricks. And that is down to management, because the players are the same. The player is exactly the same in this season and that season. The player hasn't changed. It's the management of that player that changes. And when you put an arm round at someone and give them the confidence and know which buttons to tick, then you get a response. Like Ryan Aitner, he goes from someone who might have left for hardly anything to people courting him for 70, 80 million quid plus, you know. So that's the proof in his managerial ability, which, let's remember, most of us doubted, most of us.
Yeah.
We'll have to include ourselves in it at the start of the season. Yeah. We doubted. And, none of us, you know, when he got linked with Liverpool the other day, it wasn't even a shock to any of us, because we know how well he's done. So, you know, Lucy's right. Got to keep him.
Players believe in themselves again. Mm. And I think it's just wonderful to see. I really, really do.
Well said, Lucy. Brian, anything to add on summer window for you?
Obviously Gary, getting Gary sorted out. Obviously got to increase his wages because he's not on. Well, as far as any of us are concerned, he's on a mega amount of money, and as far as us four are concerned. But for in football terms, he's not on a big contract. So we've got to get that sorted as soon as possible. I don't think he will go because he's only in his second season as well. Not even his second season because he didn't start the season at Bournemouth, did he? So he hasn't even had two full seasons as a manager. He's been a coach for a while. He was at Liverpool as one of the youth coaches. So I think he'll probably want to build up his legacy here for another couple of years at least, I should hope. I think it's already been reported that they're going to get the Tommy Doyle thing done as soon as possible, as soon as they can. So that's a no-brainer. If we do have to let players go, I wouldn't want any more than two going. We've discussed this before about Neto, although when he's playing, he's just a joy to watch, but as we've all said before, since he made his debut when he was about 17, he's missed 50% of the games that he would have been available for. So we have got that, which also diminishes how much we can get for him. But if somebody does come in for him, we do need to do the Brighton thing, and hold out for as much as we can get. But what I would like is, let's see what players we can get in exchange, part exchange. I've touted if Arsenal came in, I'd like to see Eddie Nketiah. He's a proven goal scorer. He can't get in the Arsenal team. I don't know why, because they don't really play with a centre forward, do they? At the moment. Well, Jesus plays there, doesn't he? But he's a
we could do Jesus up front.
But I mean, the Fabio thing. I mean, I didn't watch any of the game today. The Rangers game, but I believe he was just as.
I'll tell you what, Sutty, when he comes on, he'll probably be able to tell us a lot more about.
Yeah, he probably Sutty. He probably watched it.
Yeah, a big follower of Rangers.
Fabio, yeah. I backed him a lot, and so did Dave, and you wanted to. But oh, man, that what happened the other week with that when he fell over the box, tried to dive when there was no plan. That it's was the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever seen on a football pitch ever.
Does it mind you, Chris Wood came very close to it today, actually.
Oh, I didn't see it, man.
he had a good opportunity. And he was just behind him, wasn't it? But Sutty, I'll probably give us a bit of an update.
Does anyone know how long Fabio's contract's for? I don't know when he's.
Because when he went last year to PSV, they added an extra year on. So, because obviously they wanted to protect their investment. So, I think it might be 2027.
He's star boy, isn't he? That's why.
Yeah. So, it's still fairly long.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Any other, there was talk of Aiton Nouri going to City and that fullback coming our way.
What's
his name? Gomez. Yeah, that was it. Sergio Gomez, But I mean, you can only have so many Gomez's in the team, can't you? We've already got two. But I'd like to see that if we can play hardball, and get something. I mean, obviously, City have got so many players there, other than that, I think, as Manny says, you haven't got to spend a fortune. We've proven that now. So, I mean, before Matt Hobbs took over, wasn't he? He was our South American guy, wasn't he? So maybe there's some that we don't know of. We hadn't heard of Gomez, had we?
Even like the young kid Enzo Gonzalez, he found himself on the bench on Saturday. Someone like him, might have just needed the season, and he may be, people develop, don't they? They come into.
And he's been out injured as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, Gomez came from nowhere really into our team. He was only at the Grasshoppers and not really doing. And then suddenly he looks like a fixture in our team.
He's now part of the Portugal setup as well.
Yeah, he's probably international.
Yeah, he'll be in the Euros. If your scouting network's strong enough and good enough, you know, and you can identify the players, you can get good value, you know, and there's good value in the Championship as well. We should never overlook there. There are players. I mean, look at Bully. He could score every if you're a goal scorer, you know where the goal, you get better players around you.
Yeah.
You're going to score.
Look at Ollie Watkins. He came, you know, from the Championship and he's like probably after Harry Kane, it could be like, you know, England's sort of saviour, I think, you know. You can. And I think our recruitment, I think we've gone to a point now, even though we did spend 35 million on Silva, players are always going to buy duds. Big teams spend 60, 70, 80 million on players that end up, you know, United spent 80 million on Antony. He's got one goal and one assist all season. So, you know, I think the good signings are outweighing the odd bad one by far now, and that hopefully that if that trend continues, then I think we're not onto a bad thing. It's just that we've got to make sure that if we do lose, that the money that we get in is reinvested into the squad, and Gary O'Neill gets a fair crack of the whip. Yeah.
That's the key. I think they'll give him about 70%, because I'll save some back for January. Manny, let's move on just to finish this part of the show, because we have got Jack, the voice of reason, Sutty, we've got Cheerful Chris, and we've got Lewis coming up in the second half of the show for a bit of fun to finish off on. Your top three holiday destinations and your score prediction for Manchester City.
Who's still starting with me?
We'll go with Lucy first.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So, Albufeira in Portugal.
Right.
Just stunning, stunning place. I went to Mallorca last year with my son. First family holiday, just me and him. And, oh, God, we had the best time. It was lovely. Lovely beaches, really nice people. Another one, I've been quite a few places, to be honest, but I did enjoy, it was a long time ago, but I went to Tunisia, Hammamet in Tunisia. Beautiful, absolutely stunning, stunning place. And again, lovely people.
Fantastic. And your score prediction for City?
3-2, Wolves.
Oh, my, can you imagine?
Have you watched them today? Why not? 3-2, Wolves.
I love the positivity. Brian, over to you, mate. Let's start with your holiday destinations.
I've been to some exotic places, but I don't really want to talk about those. I'd rather talk about the places that... south of France, I love the south of France, a particular place called Marseillais. Not Marseille, Marseillais. It's by a place called Sète. Beautiful area, you know. Just love it right down that area, you know. Scotland. I love Scotland. I did the NC500, you know, the NC500, the North Coast 500, 500 miles around the North Coast of Scotland is just stunning. Yeah, you know, it's just stunning. And my third one, I'd say, I'm thinking about America, actually. Two places I really like there, but I've been all over the place, but I think Boston, actually. Boston's a really interesting city. Yeah, it's very, very
tea parties.
It's a very, very much a sports city. You know, I mean, they've got fantastic. You know, they've got the Celtics, the basketball team. They've got the Patriots and the American football and the baseball team. Red Sox, yeah. And it's a very much a sport orientated city, a bit like Melbourne is in Australia. But that's my three places. Yeah. What was the other question?
Well, the little one, score prediction for City.
Prediction. Oh yeah. Ooh, gosh, I hope and pray Lucy's right. I tell you, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But we have done it before. We have done it before when Traore scored two goals. Nuno did a master job, didn't he, on City. He almost did it today, you know. I mean, I thought Forest played really well today.
They did play well. I think they'd played on Thursday, so they're a little bit off it, but they've still got the job done in the end.
Are they playing midweek this week as well?
No, They've got they're not in the Champions League. They got knocked out.
I think we 2-2. I'll go for 2-2. 2-2. 2-2.
Okay, 2-2. Interesting. This is the positive side of the break. Manny, come on, this is going to be interesting. Your top three.
You know what? This is a fact. In since 1998, apart from going to India 5 times every single year, I've only actually been to Rhodes. I haven't been anywhere else apart from, you know, when we went to the European away days, which were early holidays. I went to Espanyol and, you know, Turkey and that. I spend a lot of my time in India. For me, my holiday is peace of mind. I'm not a beach person. I'm not a pool person. I'm not, you know, it's where I get peace of mind. And I do a lot of volunteering and charity work there with young kids who, you know, absolutely have nothing. And I mean nothing. But they give me everything from having nothing. And because they still have peace of mind and still know how to be joyful with what they have. So I go to the north of India, which is about 200 miles north of Delhi, which is only about 3 hours drive from the lower parts of the Himalayas. It gets very cold in the winter. And we've got our place there. So my parents spend a lot of time there. And I'm going in a couple of weeks' time as well. I'll be missing the last home game of the season. So that's where I go. Apart from that, I'm, you know, I love just going to local places where I can get high. So, you know, like the Malverns or going to Wales, to some of the, you know, the places in there. I mean, we're not that far away. We're looking in the Midlands, an hour's drive. We can actually be in some nice places where we can just find a bit of solace and a bit of peace. So, yeah, so for me, that's, you know, that's where I go. I'm struggling to name. I mean, I've got family who live in California. I'll tell you a story about California. So my mum and dad are there at the moment because my granddad, he's 95. I was speaking to him on the phone today because he's fairly poorly at the moment. He was in hospital, but he's back home. And he's not got all his senses at the moment, but I was talking to him. And so my three uncles, my mom's brothers, and my granddad live in California. And famously, many, many years ago, when I was about 20 years old, I sort of said to my mom, how the hell did your three brothers get California and you got Wolverhampton? You know, and so they sent me. So my mom and dad sent me to America to live there. So I lived in California for three months nearly. And with the premise of, like, we were all going to go and move over there. We're going to move from England. My uncles were going to help us, you know, set up and settle down. And then my mom and dad was going to join us. But they wanted me to go there. And I absolutely hated it. And you know why? Because there was no Wolverhampton Wanderers. That's why I started missing. You started missing the football. And because I was only 20 and football was your life as a young kid, you played it, you watched it, you knew nothing else but football. You went there in the wilderness because it's right central California in the farming wilderness. And I thought, wow, I've got to go back. I've got to go back to watch the football. So the football brought me back when I was 20. So, but it is a stunning place there. But yeah, so for me, let's go. I'll tell you what, if anybody wants to give me any ideas, because I'll just show you something. I've actually still got this from Anton Deck Saturday Night Takeaway.
Oh, yes, yes.
I won Takeaway Getaway. So we've won a holiday for four. And they've given us 70 destinations to choose from. And we got till next year, May 2025, I think, to, like, take it. So we still haven't decided. We don't know. We're still having, like, because I'm, like, pretty clueless. And I want somewhere that's not just a pool and a beach. I would like a bit of history. So, yeah, I'd love to...
Any ideas for Manny?
Any ideas where I should go?
The, chat.
So, yeah, let us know, and I'll let them know, and we can book our holidays.
Italy's nice for culture. I've got to say.
You know what? That's the one I'm leaning to. Right in the south.
Emma really loves Rome, and she
Have you heard of Calabria? Is it Calabria?
Oh, I don't know.
It's the south tip of Italy, old Italy, and I've looked at it, and it looks absolutely stunning. So
History though, Rome's amazing. It really is. You've got the Vatican. You've got obviously the Colosseum. You've got all the ancient Rome. You've got so much, the Pantheon, the Spanish Steps, Forum. And we're hoping that we get back in the Europa League and we draw Roma at some point. We can do that in as well. And finally, Manny, your score prediction for City?
You know what? I'm going to go with the positive half, because we did the double over Spurs, and we're on for the double over City. I've predicted that it's
going to be... And Chelsea did the double.
I have predicted that it's going to be Arsenal's year, finally. Even though City are like a juggernaut, and even when they don't play well, they churn out result after result. Arsenal is sort of doing the same thing. They're just churning out results. So it's like neck and neck, and it will be the first person that blinks. And I don't know, maybe we've got a role to play, because by the time we get to Liverpool, I think Liverpool will be out of it. So this might be... Yeah, he's just named it Calabria. That's what I'm looking at. But anyway, I'm going to go for... backs to the wall, defend, attack, Matheus Cunha, goal. We all look at the screens, no VAR, and then we all go mental.
Loving that. I'm loving that. Guys, absolutely fantastic first half of the show. Again, a big thank you to, of course, Creation Wolf for powering the show. Manny, amazing work, mate, from all of us. Well done on everything. I hope you get some downtime, and I'd say you're going over to India in a couple of weeks. So that'll be for you. That's kind of a very spiritual thing for you to go over there and recharge as well. Brian and Lucy, good to have you back on as well.
Thank you, Dave.
Loving the positivity. We're past 9 o'clock, so we've got the post watershed lot coming on next. All the best, guys.
Thank you. Cheers, everybody. Thank
Boys
you.
Boys, Wolves.
Cheers.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.